Richard Baranek was convicted of rape in 1990 and has served 27 years of the 243-year term that he was given. But just last week, a Dane County judge overturned the sexual assault conviction based on new examination of DNA evidence that had been used to convict him, of physical evidence that had been originally used to convict him. Jarrett Adams is one of Mr. Baranek's defense lawyers. He's an attorney with the Innocence Project in New York, was once exonerated himself on a wrongful conviction. Jarrett, welcome back to Central Time.
Hey, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, remind us of the details. We've talked about this a little before, of Richard Baranek's case.
So, Mr. Baranek, he was convicted of a 1988 sexual assault. The victim was someone broke into her home. They assaulted her, and when they assaulted her, she called the police. She let the police do the investigation. The police collected a number of items. They collected bed sheets and things like that. And so there was evidence collected. There was a hair found in a pair of underwear that was presumably left by the perpetrator. And in fact, that's exactly what, you know, the prosecution said in their case, that the underwear was left by the perpetrator. They had an FBI analyst, and this is the key to the case and why it was overturned. They had an FBI analyst get on the stand and testify that under a microscope, he viewed a hair of Mr. Baranek's and also the hair that was recovered from the perpetrator's underwear. And he said that those hairs look consistent, and the jury believed that. They believed that faced with Mr. Baranek's defense of six alibi witnesses that included family members as well as people that he did work for in a different state. And they all said that Mr. Baranek was in that state during the time of this assault. Mr. Baranek was picked out of a photo lineup first 2 years after the assault. And he was charged, and he was brought to trial based on nothing but the identification of the victim 2 years later. So when the jury is looking at this evidence, and they're listening to the evidence, and they're listening to the identification by the witness, and then they're listening to Mr. Baranek and his six witnesses say, look, he's not in this state, the tiebreaker is what? It's the FBI agent getting on the stand saying, look, I looked at this hair, and this hair is consistent with Mr. Baranek's hair. So it is reasonable to believe that the jury convicted him based off of this hair. Years later, we did DNA testing on the hair, and the hair came back to exclude Mr. Baranek as not the contributor of that hair. So we litigated and we litigated and we litigated. And finally, on June 9th, Dane County Court Judge Moser overturned the conviction based just on that, that the FBI's agent's testimony was knowingly false. After, I must add, that there was letters that were issued by the FBI brass saying that testimony of this kind was not to be used anymore. That letter came out in, I want to say, 1992 or 93 is when these letters started to come out, and they were instructed not to testify in this manner anymore. But it still took years and years of litigation to get Richard Baranek a new trial.
Now, this challenge came from the Wisconsin Innocence Project and you from the New York Innocence Project. What was it that clued in lawyers on the Innocence Project that this was a case worth reviewing?
Well, it's a number of things. You know, when you have a sexual assault, you have the opportunity for the perpetrator to leave behind some type of DNA. Because of the advancements of DNA over time, it has gotten better, and testing has gotten significantly better. And because of the fact that there were six witnesses who testified that Mr. Baranek was in a different state at the time, and the only thing tying him to the crime was a two-year-old identification, we felt it was worth the resources to investigate this case and find out one way or another. The Innocence Project, we don't go in and just say, all right, well, you say you're innocent, so we're going to go with that. We go in and we also reach out to the opposing side, the prosecutor, and we say, hey, look, let's just test this evidence to make sure that we got it right. And so that's exactly what we did in this case. And come to find out, they got it wrong.
What does it take to get the prosecutors or judges involved to say, yeah, let's take that evidence back out and use our most modern science to see what we've really got here?
Well, it's extremely difficult because first, it would be a lot easier if a prosecutor would agree and say, okay, let's just go ahead and test it. If they don't agree to testing, then we have to litigate it. And there are laws in Wisconsin, in each state actually, that allow a person to meet a certain standard. If you can meet the certain standard, the eye test, where you're saying, look, no physical evidence was ever connected to my client in this case, and the case rested simply on an eyewitness identification, which through years of research has now proven that eyewitness identification is one of the most unreliable pieces of evidence that is used in criminal convictions. People get it wrong. When you're under pressure, like someone is attacking you and your heart is racing, you get it wrong sometimes. We're people.
Do you ever hear from prosecutors the concern when you review these cases that once this DNA is retested, they found out they got it wrong, that the actual perpetrator was never caught, never charged?
And I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what this is all about. This is about getting in right and really making the community safe. And you can't say that you swear to do the duty of the court and protect the community and put all bad guys in prison, and then when you're faced with evidence that suggests their innocence, you don't investigate it thoroughly and fully to make sure that the community is really safe. And so it's one of these things where we find ourselves pitting ourselves against each other in the criminal justice system, where each side just wants to win. Instead of doing that, we need to focus our energy on how do we get to justice, not just winning.
Talking to Jarrett Adams. He's with the Innocence Project in New York, one of the defense lawyers for Richard Baranek. Just had his conviction overturned, an older conviction, 27 years into his sentence of a 243-year sentence based on DNA testing of physical evidence from that case. So now what for Richard Baranek? Where is he? What happens next?
Well, now he has just been, his conviction is vacated, so he's just been transferred to the Dane County Jail. And now what we're doing is the posture of the case is that we are trying to litigate for bond pending the resolution of what the state decides to do. They have the opportunity to retry him or dismiss the case, but they have a time limit in which they can do it. And so in between time, we want to argue that our client is released to his family, and you know, the state can decide whether or not they're going to retry him. And essentially what happens is this, to make it understandable. When a conviction is vacated and reversed, it goes back to its beginning stages. And the beginning stages are he's simply charged with the crime, and he is supposed to be innocent until proven guilty.
But that doesn't mean he walks free the moment the judge says that conviction is overturned.
No, unfortunately, it doesn't. There's a lot of things that won't allow for a person to just walk free. But there are some circumstances where a judge can rule and a guy is just released outright, and it doesn't challenge. A lot of those times comes when a prosecutor is willing to jointly agree to just, you know, do it all at one time and dismiss the charges. In this case, we didn't get that, and we don't fault the other side or question the other side. We just represent Mr. Baranek. We hope to have a bail hearing next week to see that he's home, and we hope that the resolution of this case is fully dismissed soon.
Supposing that the prosecutor decides to dismiss the case, or it goes to a new trial and he's found not guilty, is there some kind of compensation for the years in prison if he's found to have been wrongfully convicted?
Well, let me make sure that I make this clear for all the listeners that are listening right now. There is a compensation issue in Wisconsin, period. They are one of the lowest states in terms of compensation. It's 25 years max, no matter how many years you've spent in prison. With that being said, even if it was $1 million for each year you spent in prison, financially you're compensated. But Mr. Baranek can never be compensated for the years that he missed watching his daughter grow. He will still be able to go home, look in his photo album, and it will stop at the day that he was arrested, and it will not begin until 27 years later.
You talked earlier about the problems with hair sample analysis from the FBI. This is something, as I understand it, that is not a problem anymore, because if you have this hair evidence, you go right to the DNA test. Is that right?
Yeah, it is. It's one of the, well, I'll say this. there are certain tests that are advancing right now that allow us to test the hair, mitochondrial DNA, to test the hair, to be able to compare it and see if it excludes someone or if it is a perfect match. But you know, the science is science. It's advancing. It's not 100%, and it's still moving in a new area. It's not the same as saliva or blood or something like that. It's still being developed, but right now it's accurate enough to exclude a person in the manner in which it did with Mr. Baranek's case. And, you know, I just feel as if we really need to trust our science. If we can trust the advancements of a society with phones and cameras and buildings and structures, we should accept the science and clean up our criminal convictions. And if you think about it, yeah, it stops people from being wrongfully convicted at this point. But what about the other people who were convicted on the same DNA evidence that we didn't have? They were convicted on this hair analysis by FBI agents. What about them?
Are you still looking for those people?
We absolutely are. It is a daunting task. It's very difficult. In a lot of these cases, the evidence just isn't there to test. It's destroyed at sometimes. You know, the preservation laws in states, in a lot of states, were implemented after guys were convicted. And so in some cases where you got convictions back in the 1980s, you know, some people's evidence has been destroyed or lost. And at that point, you have nothing to test.
Jarrett, thanks a lot for talking to us today.
Hey, thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
That was Jarrett Adams. He's an attorney with the Innocence Project in New York. He was part of the team that just won a new trial for Wisconsin's Richard Baranek, whose conviction was overturned because of DNA evidence.